Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for This Week in Tech is provided by AOL Radio at AOL.com/podcasting. This is TWiT, This Week in Tech, episode 103 for July 1st, 2007. The good, the bad, and the iPhone. This Week in Tech is brought to you by Audible.com. For your free audiobook, visit audible.com/twit. It's time for TWiT 103, a very unusual TWiT. We have the reigning monarchs of the gadget world on the show today, ladies and gentlemen. The crown jewels of gadgetry. I don't even know where to begin, so I'm just going to do it in alphabetical order, starting with Richard Bagley, who is...
Hi there.
Are you editor-in-chief? Editor, what is your title?
I'm the editor-in-chief of wirelessinfo.com.
Wireless,
all my minions below me.
Wirelessinfo.com, which is a great site for wireless news. By the way, this is going to be the iPhone show. Give you a chance to tune out right now. Those of you who said enough with the iPhone hype already, but we've got to do one show where we really, now that we all have them. And in fact, I think among the five panelists here, we've got over two dozen iPhones. So I think we're pretty well equipped here. Welcome, Rich. It's good to have you. Your first time on TWiT. Let's see. That's
my BA.
Now, BE is Veronica Belmont from Buzz Out Loud. Always a welcome member of the TWiT team.
Hello.
And also, of course, CNETTV.com. With her also, BEBL, Ryan Block, who is the editor-in-chief of Engadget.
Hello.
The number one, I think, gadget blog. Is there any other? I don't think so.
I hope not.
We won't mention those other guys. And last but certainly not least, the L in the group, which is Callie Lewis from GeekBrief.tv. Hi, Callie.
Hey.
I'm so glad to get you all on because I can't think of really a better group to talk about the iPhone. We could have Dvorak on, but I'll tell you what. Let me do what Dvorak would do.
What would be the fun in that?
Oh, no, but I really wanted to do what Dvorak would
do. All right, you
can we all take turns impersonating what Dvorak
I was do. Looking forward to that as well. Yeah.
No fighting!
I wanted to.
All right, tell me, Ryan, what would Dvorak say about this?
iPhone sucks. johndvorak.org/blog.
Thank you. We're done. IPhone. That's it. You're exactly right. We don't need John anymore. We can channel him.
Sorry, John.
He's been all along kind of an anti-iPhone guy, and I doubt very much he's changed his tune, and I certainly don't think he's had an iPhone. And I think that was one of the critical elements for me was that everybody on this show at least have had an iPhone for 15 minutes, and I know that's you, Callie Lewis.
Right.
You've owned one for longer.
I was so excited when I got the activation email, finally.
So
I had an eye block, an inactive eye block for a little while.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So you bought it. Did everybody wait in line here?
I did.
Yeah.
I did
10
as
hours
well.
For me.
10 hours for Callie. How long, Veronica?
Oh, only about 5.
6 for me. Richard, I know you didn't have to wait in line, right?
Well, no, we did. We were out there at 3 o'clock in the morning on Friday outside the mall in Cambridge here.
And Ryan, how about you, Ryan?
I would say it was about 10, but I waited in a number of lines. We kind of did a multi-city line blog,
wow.
Is what I called it.
How fun.
And we covered every single Apple store line that we could possibly do. So I was all over the South Bay covering different...
Instead of live blogging, they did line blogging.
I like it. So
it's a whole new adventure.
Not only
you might say we were doing lines.
Not only 24 iPhones among us, but also about 24 hours spent in line among us. And here's the joke on all of us. Today, you could wander into an Apple store, leisurely stroll in, plunk down your $500 or $600, and walk out with an iPhone.
Not so in San Francisco.
It's sold out?
There's another line out at the San Francisco store.
Interesting.
Yeah, but wasn't that for
acceptance? Is that for people returning it?
I wouldn't give up the experience for anything, though. That was amazing.
It was a sense of community, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It was
like
Woodstock. Yeah.
Or the closest thing I'll ever get to.
I was nervous about being too public in line. I went to the small AT&T store in Petaluma because I didn't want to look like a fanboy. I didn't want to kind of blazon my name out there as a fanboy. I was waiting in line, as all of you were, because we needed to review it as soon as possible. Mm-hmm. And Apple wasn't going to FedEx me one Saturday delivery. So I had to go buy one. Do you think that in some cases that the journalists were a little bit too, I don't know, pro iPhone even before it came out?
Well, I mean, there was the whole hype factor of the whole thing. We really had no choice but to talk about it because that's what everyone wanted to hear about for the most part.
And Apple very cleverly managed the news cycle by dribbling out news releases over the six-month period.
Yeah. Oh, they're very good at that. And they kind of, I think some people kind of got swept up in the whole thing, though, you know, and it's very easy to do. You know, there was so much hype going on, and this is, wow, so many different things happening, and they released all that news over the week before, just bit by bit, and they managed that pretty well. So it was kind of easy just to get swept up in the whole thing.
I think the hardest part is being a journalist and kind of getting hosed by Apple was that they were giving, you know, they gave it out to the four journalists, the, you know, USA Today, Newsweek, and then, of course, Mossberg and Pogue, and then all the other journalists just had to kind of fend for themselves and wait for it to come out. And it was kind of, you know, kind of a big FU to the rest of the media world.
Well, worse than that, I think that as a result, those big four, Newsweek, the New York Times, USA Today, and the Wall Street Journal were a little bit kinder to the iPhone than it deserves, perhaps?
Yeah, but this is how it goes every single time there's a new Apple product launch. And I would say the number one accusation that flies towards Pogue and Mossberg is that they're Apple fanboys. And that goes hand in hand with the fact that they're constantly getting pre-release Apple units, and they're among the only people in the world getting pre-release Apple units. So, I would like to say that I was pretty upset, but I really wasn't because we all knew, you know, in our heart of hearts that they were going to get the units, and we'd all prepared ourselves.
It wasn't unexpected. It was just kind of annoying.
I was prepared to be more upset. When the Apple TV came out, only Mossberg at the Wall Street Journal got it. Pogue had to wait like the rest of us. That would have upset me more.
I remember Pogue having an early review up.
Did he? Not as early.
Yeah, I believe so. He really liked it.
Okay. All right. But not as early as Walt. Walt got it a week before or 10 days before everybody else did. At least there were
four. I had a disillusioning moment for just thinking, you know, this is so frustrating. They're so exclusionary. You know, they've got this exclusive club of these four people, and it's very frustrating that they won't let anybody else in.
Well, they don't need to let anyone else in.
No, they don't need to.
It wasn't like they needed the hype, so.
And the hype is taken to a new level because, I mean, I asked my mom if she knew about it, and she doesn't know about, you know, technology news or anything. She knew exactly what it was, what it did. Even Neil's grandmother knew it as the phone that does everything but wash your dishes, you know?
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, is the hype justified? And I think that's what the real question is here. There's no denying that there was an enormous amount of hype about this device, but why was there so much hype? I mean, Apple always has a certain amount of hype going around its new product releases, but why did this one touch such a nerve on pop culture in its entirety? I have to think it's because it's really true that almost everyone hates their cell phone and almost everyone wants something that's going to do all of these tasks in a much more easy way for them.
It was for many of us the Holy Grail. We said, Steve Jobs, save us. And we're going to get to, but not yet, whether Steve did his job right and whether he did save us. What I'd like to do organizationally is start with the line experience, go on to what it was like to buy it if you feel like it was well done, how activating went. We'll talk to, Callie about that one because I know she had some trouble. And then I think at the end, let's get to the user experience and what it's been like using one of them. You said, Callie, that the line was like Woodstock.
Well, yeah, what I know, you know, what I know of it and the closest thing I'd ever get to it. I thought it was an amazing experience. I wouldn't give it up for anything because, you know, we got there. I was 28th in line and we all made friends with the five or six people around us and we didn't care about if you needed to go to the bathroom. Hey, you know, we'll hold your spot. And it was a very friendly experience.
Unlike there was the PlayStation 3 lines, there was no violence.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And, but then we get, you know, 15 minutes out and people start trying to get in line. And the one lady that was beside me, she was super sweet the whole day. And then, you know, somebody comes in line and she turns and she said, what are you doing? You know, she gets so upset and she starts, no, you're not. And she calls security over. And,
all right.
You know, there's the big fight and we couldn't turn our camera on because mall security wouldn't allow us to turn our camera on. And I wanted to capture that because I thought something was going down.
Ryan, you
so
waited
for the Woodstock experience.
Yeah, well, there was some Woodstock there. Don't eat the brown. We actually had ice cream handed out to us from Cold Stone. It was next door to the AT&T store.
Oh, you're lucky, man.
And AT&T was giving out water. But AT&T matched their hospitality with something that I thought was a little weird, which was the upsell. They went down through the line several times trying to sell their DSL. In fact, there were some other pitchmen. There was a woman selling golf lessons or something. There were other people. We're a captive audience. Ryan, you were line blogging. You went to see a number of lines. Is that experience at Callahad pretty typical across all of them?
Yeah, I mean, there was a very palatable sense of goodwill in the air. Everyone was really excited to be there, really excited to be a part of it. Everyone was super stoked to be getting their device, which is no surprise. I mean, anybody who's going to be waiting in a line like that, I think, is going to be really happy about picking this thing up.
Was there a difference between the Apple line and the AT&T line?
I didn't actually get to check out any AT&T lines personally. We had a couple of other people at the AT&T lines. By and large, they were obviously a lot shorter. And
they had a lot less phones. I think they all had 60. Mine had 60.
They had a lot less phones, and my suspicions were correct, and they churned through customers at, I think we've mathematically calculated, at between 10 and 11x slower. We actually saw people at Apple stores. We counted about 150 customers would get through in the time that it would take between 10 and 15 customers to get through at an AT&T store.
Yeah, we noticed that as well. Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty unbelievable. So obviously, Apple was the place to buy yesterday. And,
ironically, because
I think where the community was strongest.
Even Steve Jobs said, "Don't buy," or is reputed to have said in an offhand comment to somebody on a panel, "I would go to the AT&T store. It won't be quite the zoo." But they had a lot more phones at Apple, and they handled the purchases a lot more quickly. Let's get from each of you, if you have an anecdote about a person in line. I'll start. Actually, it was kind of neat. I had the same experience you did, Callie, where everybody around me kind of talked and became friends. There was one woman who was a major gadget freak. She said, "I haven't bought anything since January. This is it for me." When she found out that she'd need to download iTunes 7.3, she called her husband, who she said is not a techie at all. He's a rancher, and walked him through the process of downloading 7.3. And he said, "Should I reboot?" And she said, "Yes, reboot." She was ready to come home and activate that sucker right away. There was also next to me a high school freshman, 15 years old, with his skateboarding buddies. The three of them kind of hung out in line. Only he was getting the phone. He went to the ATM machine, took out his last pennies. I mean, he had it down to the dollar and held it in his little hands. It was so sweet. Does anybody feel like maybe, given that you can easily get one, I mean, I don't think it's hard to get one now, that any of us were crazy, or really was, I think it was worth it.
I think it was worth it as well. It was
kind of an experience. We went along, we had some fun, I met some nice guys from MIT, and we chatted for a bit. Certainly where I was, everybody was very civilized and very polite.
Yeah.
There's only one thing where one guy in a wheelchair decided he suddenly wanted to join the line three people back, and just... He just basically lifted up the thing and drove in.
Oh, jeez.
Fortunately, the security guard saw him, and they quickly pulled him out. But that was the only sort of thing I saw that was any unpleasantness.
Yeah,
it was very, very, very civil. I was in line with Ryan as well. And everyone was just really nice. If you had to go up and use the bathroom, they'd hold your place. Mm-hmm. People were leaving their laptops even and having people they didn't know watch their laptops.
I left my Sony
e-book. Going out to get coffee and stuff.
Yeah, I left my Sony e-book reader, but nobody stole it, unfortunately.
It was very impressive. I have to say, I got caught up in the whole thing because I wasn't even planning on buying one.
What?
I was just there to get another review unit for CNET.
That's right.
And so I was hanging out in line, and I was covering the line for CNET TV. And then I finally get up to the front, and we're talking about it, and everyone's all excited. And I get to the checkout, and they're like, "So what can I get for you today?" And I just go, 2 8-gigers. And I see that, and the people with me were like, "What? You're getting one?" And I was like, I don't know. I guess I have to." And then I came home and I got back to work, and they're like, "Oh, I see you got two." And I was like, "Yeah, one's for me." But I'm happy I have it now, although I can't activate it yet.
I've never seen anybody spend $700 or $600.
Impulse buy.
But not just you. Everybody gladly forked over this. What really is a lot of money. They were smiling. Yeah. There was no pain being felt. Even this 15-year-old who was spending his life savings, he was gladly, happily doing it.
I really think this speaks to this complete vacuum in consumer electronics where everybody carries a phone and nobody likes their phone. So, for once we got an opportunity to, for a lot of these people anyway, I don't want to speak for myself on this because I use a variety of phones, but a lot of people got an opportunity to get a phone that they felt would really kind of meet all of their needs and be usable and fun in such a way that they've never really had an opportunity to experience before. And I think that in itself, really kind of proves the theory of the iPhone, and that's that usability and design and user interface and, the human factor, so to speak, is far more important than specs or features or any of that stuff.
What? Yeah, no, it's very true. The amount of wonderment and awe that you get from using the phone, it's not something you ever get from a kind of like handheld device like that, especially not in the mobile department. You know, people are using this phone for the first time and flipping through photos and flipping through their list of contacts, and everything you do with the phone is just a new experience that people aren't used to. And it's between how it looks and how it feels and how it works. That's what's getting people really excited.
You're still in the honeymoon period, guys. I think there are some negatives here that people are going to come up with, and they're going to be more and more frustrations. We'll get to that, though, in a little bit. Any other stories from the line anybody wants to share?
I was at the Palo Alto store, and Steve actually ended up showing up there later, but I wasn't around.
There were some real celebrities there. There was Bill Atkinson. Was there. So was, I've forgotten his name.
Scoble
was there. Weren't the Dignation guys there, too?
I'm thinking more Apple celebrities. And Woz, of course, waited in line, but not in that store.
No, yeah, I got an opportunity to speak with Woz. He was at the Valley Fair store, and he sat down and gave a little chat for an Engadget interview. Super nice about this whole thing.
Oh, he's great. I think he enjoys he gets it and enjoys being among those people.
Absolutely.
That's why he goes on the geek cruises. He doesn't want to hide out. He wants to be among his fellow geeks.
Anyway, so the anecdote is that I was at the Palo Alto store, and this was a few hours before Steve got there. I think it was maybe about 1 in the afternoon, so about 5 hours before launch. And I'd walked all the way down the block, maybe 200 people deep, into the line at the end of the corner. And as I'm sitting there kind of photographing the line to put in the line blog, this car pulls up to the left of me. And I didn't really notice it because, it was a busy street. And then they stop and just lay on the horn. And they were obviously trying to get some attention. I look around. I'm like, what is going on here? And there's five people leaning out of the car, all snapping pictures on, real proper iPhones, like laughing and hooting and basically like trying to catch everybody's attention. And then as soon as people start noticing that it's a car full of iPhone users, they peel out. And
that's just mean.
Yeah, it was pretty cruel, but I don't think anybody, enough people noticed to incite a riot or anything.
Obviously, Apple, renegade Apple employees, right?
Apparently so.
Well, I was the first person who was out of the store with the iPhone where I was in Cambridge, and I was kind of concerned that somebody was going to jump me. So what I did was we kind of ran off, and one of my colleagues had his motorbike there, and we like zoomed off into the distance to get it back to review it.
Oddly enough, AT&T seals the bags. They have adhesive on the inside of the bag.
Apple didn't do that.
AT&T was odd. They sealed the bag. I think it was so that you wouldn't take it out in the store and open it right there. But maybe it was to keep it from being lifted. I don't know. So let's go to the buying experience. Any issues with buying it? It sounds like at Apple it's very straightforward. You hand over the dough, they give you the phone.
I think I had to high-five everybody in the entire store.
Yeah, we got that too.
The first people in there.
Oh, that's neat. Yeah, Scott. There's a picture of Scott Bourne on the San Francisco Chronicle. Practically, I don't know if he's actually touching the ground. Practically walking on air as he leaves and a bunch of happy Apple employees. Callie, what were you going to say?
Oh, I just thought they did an amazing job at making you feel like a celebrity, with the line of employees clapping you on and everybody's cheering and going in and going out. And partly I was, we were taping inside there, so it was even more of a boost for me, I guess, coming in and going out. So, 'cause I was on tape as well, on camera for the show, but, I just, the whole experience, I mean, everybody was smiling and everybody, had drunk the Kool-Aid. Literally, we had Kool-Aid outside.
Did they give
the
you? That's what's not
Well, I mean, let's be fair. I think that if you're dropping $600 on a phone plus a two-year contract with no subsidy, yeah, you should probably get the celebrity treatment.
Yeah.
See, I would like to hire a bunch of Apple employees to just follow me around and make me feel better when I drop $600 on anything. Yay. Like when I bought a $400 Marc Jacobs purse, where were they?
Yay.
Clapping and cheering and
Thank
not making
for
me feel bad.
The economy. Yay! Well, maybe they ought to be cheering. It sounds like they have a lot of extra phones in stock. Now, you said that the San Francisco store is sold out, Veronica?
No, they're not sold out. They had a line again this morning, though.
Because if you go online, there's a Apple phone finder, And last night, after the stores closed, I went through it, and there wasn't a single store that didn't still have phones. So they've obviously heavily supplied the stores.
The AT&T stores are dangerously close to selling out, if they haven't already, at least of the 8-gigabyte versions.
Yeah, everybody in line for mine, they sold out.
We were hearing rumors that like five people would walk in and then walk back out, and they would be out of 8-gigabyte versions right away. So they were sorely understocked in a lot of different places.
Interesting.
Yeah. So well, go to the Apple store.
People aren't interested in getting them from the AT&T stores.
Yeah, they weren't.
I mean,
they weren't
it's not the same experience.
Well,
no, but some people don't have an Apple store in their area, and AT&T is all they have.
And you know what? Yeah, I got the phone there. I don't mind. I didn't mind going to AT&T. I have to say, I'd hit that very store. I had been in with a singular phone and thrown up my hands and canceled my account some years before because of the lousy, inattentive service. And I don't know if it was because it was the iPhone or they were heavily trained, but it was a very different place when I went in there. They were very friendly. Mm-hmm. It did take about 18 minutes. They said our computers are really slow. I think it's because the AT&T stores were validating credit. They were actually doing credit reports on people.
Were they activating in store?
They weren't doing in-store activation, but they were doing kind of a pre-qualify, it looked like.
Oh, weird.
Now, I had an advantage because I have an AT&T phone, a BlackBerry that I, so I was just taking over a phone. Mm-hmm. So it was much faster for me. It was very quick. But there was quite a sluggish line for a while, which is good. They only had 60 phones. If they'd had 500, it might have been a problem.
I had a very interesting experience with calling my T-Mobile customer service yesterday. So I have T-Mobile currently, and I was just wanted to see how much time I had left on my contract. So I gave them a call and I said, I just want to know like when my contract is up. And he said, July 10th. I'm like, oh, okay. I thought it was the 28th. And he said, why are you canceling? And I said, No, I was just curious. And he goes, okay, you're not planning on getting a new phone today, are you? And I was like, no, dude, I was just curious. Yeah. I just wanted to know how much time my contract was left. And he said, okay, well, if there's anything we can do to make your experience more enjoyable, just let me know. And I said, okay, I got to go. Bye.
I've actually been very happy with T-Mobile.
Horrible breaking up with T-Mobile.
Really?
I like T-Mobile. I do.
I think it depends where you are, but I think their customer service is very good. But you're right.
Very good.
Their signal is pathetic in most places.
And so I still can't activate my iPhone for another 2 weeks or so.
That's why you haven't activated it.
Yeah. Luckily, I have enough to play with between home and work, but I can't actually activate my true iPhone for another until the 10th. Because I just don't want to pay another $200 on top of the $600 I've already spent.
I don't blame you. Now, you had similar. You had real problems, Callie, activating your phone. Mine activated in a couple of minutes, and again, it's because I wasn't doing a transfer of numbers. I think that's what really took most people a long time. I talked to somebody today on the radio show who was moving over from Verizon, and they said maybe Sunday. What happened to you, Callie?
Well, I did transfer over numbers. I transferred over my first one, and I said I chose the option that I wanted to do both, two iPhones, and went through the process, said it would take 6 minutes. Of course, then I got the message saying that it's going to take, another who knows how long, and they'll send me an email, and didn't get the email, so I called, and they said it'll take 24 hours, and...
Who is the carrier you were transferring from?
T-Mobile.
Yeah. See, I think you're at the mercy of that carrier.
Well, I called T-Mobile and they suggested, because there had been some problems because I had mentioned that the second line, it never gave me an option to give them the information on the second line that I wanted to transfer over. And so they suggested I call them. So I did call them, and both AT&T employees, I called back two times just to see what the two different employees would say. And both times they said, you do this and this and this. And then I confirmed, okay, so I do this and this and this. And they said, well, I believe that's how it works. Yes. And I said, you believe it? That's how it works? And
be sure, yes.
Yeah, it's not instilling a whole lot of confidence in me. It did work. I went ahead and did what they say and did the second line, and it activated right away, which I was very upset. That was Neil's, and it activated right away. but then mine activated shortly after. But I was without it for a while. But the way they don't know anything. I mean, if you talk to any of their employees, it sounds like...
Is this AT&T that didn't know anything?
Yeah. Well, actually, AT&T and Apple. I called Apple last night when I first got my phone, and he was tripping over himself. I was a little negative on the extra data plan that they require you to do.
I should play a little bit here from your most recent Geek Brief 192. You don't exactly lose it here, but you're not
unlimited
happy.
Unlimited data with direct internet access along with visual voicemail and a host of other goodies. Under pricing and availability, the release says all plans include unlimited data, email and web, visual voicemail, 200 SMS text messages, rollover minutes, and unlimited mobile to mobile.
You were not happy because it wasn't, in fact, flat rate.
Right. Everywhere you go from one page to another page, and it says all plans include unlimited data, and you get to the activation process, and you have to pay additional for additional data. And that is for the second phone's data, but they don't present it that way at all.
You have a family plan.
Right. I had to do a family plan.
Got it.
And so I was upset about that. And I did talk to an Apple employee, and he was tripping over himself. He didn't know how to respond to me one bit. He was like, well, I don't. Well, okay. Well, I mean, that's the conversation I had with him.
You know, he probably hasn't seen the iPhone himself yet. He's probably only been trained 5 minutes before.
They're all getting one in July, though, right? Every Apple employee with a year tenure or more is getting a free iPhone.
They did hire a lot of seasonal employees, seasonal being for
too.
The iPhone employees, yeah. So maybe they just didn't know the ropes yet.
AT&T added 2,000.
Seasonal employees, they're probably not too adept.
Yeah. So everybody here has activated except those of us who have declined to save money, T-Mobile money. Was the activation pretty straightforward for everybody else? Callie's, yours is now activated, right, Callie?
Yes, I got it about 45 minutes prior to getting onto the phone. So
she's playing with it right now.
I am.
We're pretty sure about that. Everybody else, activation went smoothly?
Yeah, activation. I didn't actually mention before, but I'm talking on the iPhone now, which is why I probably sound less...
you sound good.
High quality, yeah.
No, wait a minute, though. Wait a minute. I got to say, this doesn't sound like a cell phone. It sounds like a landline.
Oh, okay. Well, it is, and I'm talking on an 8 gig iPhone. But yeah, I activated 2 units yesterday. Both went through within just a couple of minutes. And this is right around launch time when I'm sure that they were under their heaviest load.
Put it on the speakerphone. Let's hear how that sounds.
Okay, give me a sec here. So it's on the speakerphone. I'm pretty sure, you know, it just uses the same mic pickup. So,
are you holding it close? Can you hold it a little bit lower so it'd be like?
Yes. So now I've got it down on the desk.
Sounds excellent.
Huh.
Sounds.
Well, this is the first time I've actually tested the speakerphone. So.
And then, do you have the earbuds? Can we try that?
Yeah. Give me just a sec.
I have to say the phone seems to work quite well. It seems to be a pretty good phone. Richard, I'm sure you guys are actually doing real testing instead of subjective impressions.
We have a very high-end audio testing system we use for our phones, which does frequency analysis and all sorts of things, and we ran it through, and this was pretty much one of the best phones we've seen. Certainly for the sound that you receive, such as somebody talking to you, it got the highest score we've had so far, and
wow.
We've tested, you know, a lot of phones. The send sound wasn't quite so good. It was pretty good, but the receive sound was really good.
I also noticed there's not a lot of, you know, usually on a cell phone call, you'll hear a lot of interference and hissing and so forth. I always thought that was the carrier, but maybe it's the mic. I mean, I don't think all of a sudden AT&T has changed how they.
Well, it's a question of the interaction between the carrier and the device and you know, whoever you're talking to's network as well. So certainly on all the calls I've made with the iPhone, you know, walking around the streets of Boston, I've had no problem, and it sounded really good.
How about power? Is it a pretty powerful radio?
You know, I haven't done an analysis on the signal strength yet. I did some rough stuff on that, and it looks like it's got a fairly good antenna in there. There's some guys, iFixit.com, who took one apart, and they show that the antenna is actually underneath a little plastic bit at the bottom. That's the reason why you have that little bit of black plastic.
Course.
That's where the two antennas are.
Yeah.
And it's a fairly good-sized antenna. You know, I haven't done our detailed analysis of the signal strength stuff yet, so I'll have to pass on that for right now, but I've not noticed any problems.
Ryan, you have the headsets on?
Yeah, I'm on the headset. I transferred over to that.
Leave that on. It sounds better.
That does sound good.
Sounds excellent.
You know, it's almost never that you get a headset that sounds better out of the box than what the actual phone sounds.
It sounds very, very good, I think.
They usually cheap out on the headsets, but this one sounds pretty good. I haven't run our testing on it yet, but I'm going to do that shortly. But it sounds pretty good to me.
Something to keep in mind, the earbuds you get, they look like standard iPod earbuds. They're not. It's a three-ring tip that obviously has phone control and microphone in it. And it's a deeper recessed connector. You can't just use none of my headphones work in it. You're going to have to get a $10 adapter if you want to use your Edemotics or your Shures or your...
That is an extremely annoying thing about the phone. Extremely. I can't even understand why they would do that. There's just no good reason to limit so many people from using their favorite pair of headphones.
I mean, that's the whole reason why you'd want to put a 3.5-millimeter jack on a music phone like this, is so you can plug in different headphones that have higher quality than the out-of-box pair.
But, well, it'll be good for the aftermarket. I'm sure that everybody will produce one with a microphone on it.
Apple does a lot of things that are really good for the aftermarket and not very good for the consumer.
One thing,
guys,
they did,
you just spent $600 on this thing. I don't want to spend any more.
I agree. And we're going to talk a little bit about the... Well, let's talk about it now. Why not? To me, the biggest lack here is the lack of third-party applications. There are a number of things on this iPhone that we ought to have that could easily be supplemented with a third-party app that isn't there. How long before Apple opens this up? Ryan, you want to say anything?
Well, you know, there's been a lot of speculation about this, and
it needs to be opened up. I think it's imperative.
Right. Apple knows that. I think that a lot of things I've read from Apple, interactions with Apple employees, specifically around WWDC, there was a lot of rumor going around that Apple employees were saying, "Yeah, we're going to do it. Just hold out, hold on. We're just going to do it right, and it's not going to be a launch feature." The impression I got when I was sitting at D watching Walt grill Steve was, at one point Steve said pretty specifically, we're going to give people what they want, just be patient and give us time.
I heard a rumor today that the SDK is in good shape on OS X. The thing that's holding it up is it's not very good on Windows. Anybody hear anything like that?
I'm sorry, say it again.
There is an SDK, a third part for third party apps, but it's ready, it's mature on OS X, but it is not near mature on Windows, and they don't want to release it OS X only.
I didn't hear that.
Could be just a bogus rumor. I pointed this out on Mac Break Weekly, there is a fourth row, empty row for icons that's not occupied, and furthermore, there are two applications on here, Stocks and Weather, that are very clearly Yahoo Confabulator widgets. They're indistinguishable from the Confabulator widget that I have on my OS X, and of course that makes sense because they're just JavaScript, CSS, and pings. There's nothing special in these.
Yeah, the Stocks one has a little Yahoo logo in the corner.
Yeah, it's got the... I mean, it looks exactly the same.
Well, I'm definitely going to... I expect there to be widget-like, development very soon in the future for iPhone. I just don't see why they would limit third-party developers from making something like that when they have, widgets on OS X. Why not widgets on the iPhone or something that functions very much like it?
And every smartphone on the market allows third-party apps. Even the locked-down Sidekick allows third-party apps. You have to get approval, but at least it allows them.
I just feel they probably didn't have a quality control thing built in yet that made them feel comfortable with letting people develop the third-party apps yet. Apple is.
Right. You have to look at widget development. I mean, widget development is something that is very, very different from app development because when you look at widgets, I mean, you're basically just talking about, XML, HTML, CSS, JavaScript, and, some HTTP calls.
I'm not talking about the actual building of the widgets. I'm talking about the letting third-party developers create a program for the iPhone. I mean, that ability to let them do that, not the fact that there's some kind of, physical limitation to it.
Yeah, I mean, you can't actually download files or upload files from the iPhone. There's no file manager, so they've kind of really excluded any kind of file interactivity on the device. But, I mean, widgets themselves, there's no reason why they couldn't have launched with it. At very least, widget support, so you kind of get that same, dashboard widget ecosystem going on the iPhone as you have on a lot of other devices that have...
That was something I was expecting right off the top, and when they said that wasn't going to happen, I was really surprised.
I kind of thought there would be at least a chat application. They're trying to treat SMS as chat. It looks just like iChat. It's got the little bubbles, even makes the iChat sounds, but it's not. It's SMS, and you're paying for messages. You get 200 messages a month, but it that if you're doing it as a, if I'm chatting with you, that's going to go by in about 3 days.
Yeah, and the SMS client isn't that good anyway. So,
well,
fortunately, if you want to get really tricky about it, you can actually log on to Meebo
right.
from the mobile Safari version, and you can do IM over over the web page through Safari.
That's an excellent hack. Yeah.
Which clients does Meebo support? Is it all of them?
All of them.
Yeah, most of the major ones.
So cool. So that's good. I'm going to log on to Meebo right now. That's great.
It's no use if you haven't got a signal, of course. But.
Well, you wouldn't want to use it on Edge. It's another problem, which is that the Edge
yes.
network, even though it's been improved, is not very fast. Have you tested the speeds on this, Richard?
Yeah, we did a number of speed tests, and we've never got beyond 100 kilobits per second.
Ooh.
And, you know, it's like, you know, that kind of makes the YouTube application rather pointless. You know, if I want to look at skateboarding dogs, I want to look at them quickly. You know, and I just can't do that on the Edge. It just takes too long.
The Wi-Fi.
Yeah,
is...
I found that really interesting because I was getting upwards of 160. In fact, right before the night before the iPhone launched, I was testing on some other handsets, and I was getting well over 250 kbps on Edge. So, yeah, I mean, obviously it depends on where you are.
You're in San Francisco. He's in Boston. There's the problem.
Right. Yeah. You know? So, I mean, the networks are going to be different everywhere, but part of that does happen to rely on where you are. And out here, I guess the Edge is just a little bit better.
Noticeably improve Edge. I mean, I was watching my BlackBerry, and it felt faster.
They did do a lot of work on the network to bring out more edge capacity, I think.
But it's still not. Now, I have to say the Wi-Fi implementation is excellent. When I walk into my office, it doesn't, it doesn't say anything. It just does it. It's very easy to get access points. It seems to be pretty snappy once you've got Wi-Fi working.
The way I use a phone, I won't use the Edge service. I'm a hermit, so I stay in the house and I have Wi-Fi. And if I leave the house, I have mobile broadband. So I will never use the data service. I'll just use Wi-Fi. And so actually I talked to AT&T and they said that you can cancel, after you've set it up and everything, of course you can cancel your data plan.
Ah,
so I'm planning on doing that.
Interesting.
Save myself the extra $20.
I'm not sure I follow. You have mobile broadband, but that's not on your iPhone.
But then I can connect to Wi-Fi via that.
Via her
so
Wi-Fi.
You carry a laptop and use EVDO.
Well, right, because I always carry that. So if I want to use my iPhone, then I'll just connect to that and use
my iPhone. I think this actually speaks something really interesting about what Apple has done here and how they really missed the mark on the data. The fact that people, and you're not the first person I've heard say this, are considering taking a laptop with a 3G card and using sharing Wi-Fi over that to get higher speeds on their
iPhone. That's a good idea.
Take the size of the iPhone.
It's a good idea until you actually really think about what you're talking about. That's completely ridiculous. They really needed to get 3G in this thing.
Yeah, well, I'm sure the second generation will, but here we are with our $600 first generation phone. Some of us more than one, apparently.
I had a nightmare last night that they were releasing a 3G version next weekend.
Yeah, that would be a nightmare.
I actually had a nightmare that they were updating the iPhone right away after I bought one.
Now,
there was a rumor going down the line and saying, oh, no, they're announcing right now before 6 o'clock. They're announcing that they're giving out a 3G in 2 weeks or something.
I would have stabbed myself in the eye if that happens.
I thought that rumor is just cruel. That's just
mean. It is spreading a rumor like that. Who would do that, Richard?
It would even be more ironic for me because I still won't even be able to use my iPhone until that next version supposedly will have come out, and then I'll just have a dud of an iPhone sitting on my desk.
No, you can return it. You have some time. You can return it.
I know. I'm just teasing.
Let's talk about the keyboard because this is another area where... Now, Walt Mossberg, Apple fan Walt Mossberg, said that, give it time in a couple... Just as Apple does, ironically. In a couple of weeks, you'll feel very comfortable with it. Now, we've only had it for less than a day, but... I do not feel comfortable with it, and I'm not getting better at it. And I got to point out something. It doesn't like my name. It has a predictive, as you know, it has a predictive algorithm, not T9. And unlike T9, it doesn't learn. So when I start typing L-A-P, it won't let me type O. It wants me to type I or Q or almost any other letter but O. It says, no, there's nothing in my dictionary, L-A-P-O. You can't continue. I have to actually lift my finger off. Go back down as if I'm starting another word, and then I could type the O. Then it does the same thing with the T. Now, you'd think after I did that about 20 times, it would learn, but no, it doesn't. And I find this very annoying.
I had the same thing, and obviously just Apple doesn't think that I exist or something. I don't know.
Really? But they don't know Baguli?
No, it's a common name, I thought,
So this is a problem. I mean, T9 at least learns. The first time you give it a new word, it says, okay, I know Petaluma now, and I'll get that right from now on. That seems to be a problem. Is anybody getting comfortable with the typing?
I thought the typing wasn't too bad.
Really? Well, you have little pointy fingers.
I do. It's true.
I have big fat fingers.
Are you using single finger or one thumb or two thumbs?
Well, I heeded the advice, Steve Jobs' advice, and I started with a finger. I haven't really progressed to thumbs yet.
I moved to thumbs pretty quickly, and it wasn't too bad.
I hate you, Veronica Belmont. I hate you. Really? So you're able to type pretty quickly on it?
Yeah, I didn't find it to be too limiting for me.
But do you normally use the widescreen or the...
Another problem. The widescreen keyboard is only in one application.
I just have the QWERTY keyboard on my dash that I usually use, and that's a pretty small keyboard as well, so I'm not
used to
gaining or losing any kind of space for the keyboard.
You're not losing space, but you're losing tactility, and you're losing actual physical feel of keys.
Yeah, and what I'm saying is I didn't have too much of a problem with
her. Her brain has somehow adjusted to that notion that she doesn't have to have a key there.
I'm having a lot of problem with the keyboard. I mean, I can do it pretty decently on one finger, but it's just not working for me on two thumbs.
Yeah.
I have pretty stubby thumbs, and... Maybe my anatomy is just not like compatible with the iPhone yet. I don't know. I need more practice.
Fingers too. And Callie, you have fat fingers. I didn't notice this about you.
I have big fat fingers. Yes.
So you're having.
How do I doubt that?
Yeah,
I will say the horizontal keyboard is so much better than the vertical keyboard.
But it doesn't show up except on the browser.
Yeah, it only shows up in Safari. Yeah. But when I'm using it on Safari, I can instantaneously switch over to two thumbs.
Yes.
And it feels more comfortable in my hand because. It's horizontal. It gives me my fingers more room to actually grasp the phone.
Why in heaven's name would they not implement that across all apps? I don't understand.
I don't know. Maybe they'll see the demand that customers want.
Let's hope for a firmware update.
Well, this is an important point. There are some things they can correct in software very easily like that. There's some things they can't, like a lack of a GPS. There's some things they're just not going to be able to fix. The lack of Bluetooth stereo. I was talking to somebody who said, I can't wait. I have a helmet that has Bluetooth stereo when I snowboard. And I said, no, you won't.
Well, actually, to be fair, they can add A2DP. They can add Bluetooth stereo via software. That's just a Bluetooth profile. Yeah, that's just a Bluetooth profile. It's just a little piece of software.
Oh, it doesn't need hardware support?
No. Well, it had the phone has Bluetooth 2.0.
Okay.
I mean, it supports the A2DP. They just have to enable it.
I assumed it was
hardware. Which is almost more frustrating.
Right.
I think, actually, from the analysis I saw the components this morning, the Bluetooth chip does come with... It can directly support A2DP, so I think they may have actually at some point decided we're not going to do that right now. I'm not certain on that, but
that could be a pushed firmware update.
Yeah, but certainly the Bluetooth is pretty much crippled.
Mm.
AT&T do that, you think?
No, this is all Apple. Apple has carte blanche on the phone. They can do whatever they want. AT&T had no process whatsoever in the actual rollout of the device and what features it did or did not have.
That doesn't surprise me, given that AT&T probably had the largest day in its history yesterday.
Mm-hmm. I took a survey in line. I don't know if anybody else did this or talked to people, but I asked probably about 100, 120 people, and 37% of them were switching to AT&T, and so the rest were already with AT&T or Singular, and 100% of those people said that they would have switched had they not been with AT&T. So I found that interesting.
That's very interesting. I'm surprised it's only 37%. Maybe that's a Bay Area thing.
Well, Dallas, so.
I'm sorry, you're in Dallas.
Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me. Those figures sound about right from the gut feeling I had talking to people in the line. I think AT&T had a very good day yesterday.
Yeah, I hope they gave Apple a lot of the money that they made yesterday.
Well, Apple is definitely going to be making all their money on this via the hardware, and that's why the phone is so expensive and it's not subsidized. And
is it really not? Do we know it's not? I mean, we know it's expensive, but maybe it costs $1,000 to make. You're pretty sure there's no subsidy here?
It's my understanding that there is no subsidy, and I can't see how there would be because, again, Apple in these situations, I mean, they make their money on hardware. That's where their margins are. There's no software money for them in the iPhone right now, out the door. I mean, they're not making money licensing. They're not making money selling updates or anything else for the iPhone. They're definitely not making money really selling content for the iPhone, since we all know that they make absolutely nothing on music and very little on movies. So really, for them, it's about selling the hardware, and that's why the phone is so expensive, and AT&T is being such a stickler with the long contracts and, you know, the almost $200 cancellation fee if you cancel early, because they need to get their cut, too,
right.
And they're getting it on the service end.
Well, that's what my cancellation fee would be on T-Mobile as well. It's $200.
It's usually $175, something like that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Some carriers prorate it, though. So if you're, you only have like 2 months left, and they'll give you, you know, that fraction of the cancellation
fee
off.
I've heard that Verizon does that, I believe, but T-Mobile does not, to my knowledge.
What is Apple's profit margin? Anybody want to speculate on this phone?
It could be anywhere from, you know, $200 to $100. I mean, it's going to be significant. They have the highest margins in the business. And, I mean, they're, you know, whereas normal companies are, you know, going in like the single-digit percentages, they're usually in the double-digit percentages, sometimes up to 20 to 25%. But to say for sure, I mean, they've been ramping up for this for so long. They've gotten really great distribution deals with Samsung for the flash memory that they've gotten, all these things. And I mean, they've been really ready to do this thing. So it would not surprise me if they're making a ton of money on the hardware.
Have you broken down the hardware components, Richard?
We're looking to do that. We've got a list of all the components from the iFixit guys who took one apart yesterday and managed to actually not break it in the process too much. There is nothing in there the stuff I've seen so far that looks hugely expensive. Probably the most expensive part is the screen.
Yeah.
The chips are fairly standard. The processors are fairly standard one, and the Bluetooth modules are all pretty run-of-the-mill ones we've seen in a number of other places. So there's nothing in here that screams that, you know, this is, you know, this chip costs $500 on its own. So I probably would agree with Ryan. I think that Apple's making a fairly good profit on these things. I don't think they're subsidizing it.
How many phones do you think they'll sell this weekend?
A lot.
I've seen early estimates that they've moved 250,000 units. There's no way of knowing, and they're not going to release those numbers, at least not for a while, but this will definitely be one of the best-selling cell phones that we're going to see in a while.
Yeah, I was going to say, what's the closest comparison? Is there the Razr? What other cell phone has even come close to this kind of numbers during its opening week?
Well, you know, even the Razr didn't really have these kinds of numbers, I don't think, during the opening week, because at the time, the Razr was also $600 or $500, if I remember correctly, at its debut, but people were not used to paying that much money for a phone, as well as the fact that there was not this crazy, insane, unbelievable, irrational desire to have this device, because even though the Razr was really sexy, it didn't do all of these amazing things like play movies, music, and that everyone's so obsessed with.
I don't think anybody camped out for the Razr, as far as I know, yeah. So this is unprecedented.
Oh, I don't think there's ever been a consumer product of any kind that's had this kind of...
Well, I mean, there's the PS3 and the Wii. I think the closest thing to coming near iPhone mania were the console wars of this past year.
And Xbox 360 and the PS2. I mean, those definitely had, they evoked a huge reaction from the mainstream consumer base. But this has been a whole other ball of wax. I mean, we're talking about, like,
because with the consoles, it was just the gamers.
Right, yeah. I mean, you're talking about people who are interested in video games, but everybody has a cell phone.
It was that's one thing you see in the line, an incredible demographic spread, age-wise, just race. It was a wide swath of the American populace. And as we've seen from polling, the huge recognition factor, 86% of all students knew about the iPhone, and a large number of them wanted to buy one. 2 out of 3 Americans knew the name iPhone, and they really... Apple did a good job of making, or if they did it, of making this a well-known product.
One of the first people that came out of the store that I was at the Stanford Mall was probably an 8-year-old girl that had an iPhone. I was like,
oh,
wow,
no.
She is spoiled.
Oh, man. Well, my daughter wants mine, and I told her, well, if I go back to my Nokia N95, you can have it, and I'll be honest with you. I don't know which way I'm going to go. It's going to take... I'm going to use this...
You love that Nokia.
I do. And I'll tell you, in terms of functionality, Nokia's got this beat. It's a 5-megapixel camera. It does video. I've got chat clients on it. I can do everything I want. It's got
your Jaiku client.
Jaiku. Full GPS. In terms of usability, the Nokia's clunky. And it's like a PC versus a Mac. It's not as elegant. I have to say, the iPhone screen is pretty stunning.
It's beautiful.
In any kind of light, this thing really shines.
Yeah, we were looking at them outside today, and you could see
amazing.
It fine.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. You can't do that with your Mac.
No, you certainly can't.
I don't know what they're doing in here, but this is a great... The touch screen works pretty well. I have to say, there's no beach ball on this, but I know it's OS X because it does beach ball from time to time. I don't know if any of you have experienced this, but there are moments when the phone becomes unresponsive.
The only time I've really had that problem is when using Google Maps. I've had it kind of get a little jumpy, a little almost freezing for a second, not quite, and then going back into it when I'm zooming in on a point. It's done that a couple times, and I was like, oh, God, I froze it, and then it fixes itself right away.
Today. Yeah, I've noticed that in a couple of apps, too, but nothing too terrible. And I have to say, I mean, I'm not – this device is not without its shortcomings, and I definitely have a number of criticisms about it, which, you know, we haven't really touched on too much yet, things that we don't really like about the device. But – I will say that, I think the total amount of time saved within the Fluid UI and, you know, just the general user experience, which doesn't have a lot of lag, that those few moments that it does kind of lag up and slow down are probably going to add up to less time wasted than on a lot of other devices.
Well, okay.
I use a new phone like every 3 or 4 days, and I've never really seen a UI experience that's really that fluid and quick.
It's very snappy, mm-hmm. although when it's not snappy, it's not. I wasn't able to pick up a phone call today. It was not responding to the button press at all, and I have it on video. People were I was streaming at Stick'em, and people saw it. So there are times when it gets bogged down. I'm not sure what it is in particular. We know it's not a third-party app anyway. I've also had trouble with the voicemail. I can't record a new greeting for some reason. It just doesn't respond.
So is that an AT&T problem or is that an iPhone problem?
I also earlier, just before we went on, was trying to get my voicemail. It said voicemail unavailable, which is...
Yeah, I had that problem a couple of times as well.
An AT&T issue.
The visual voicemail system that they're using is it's new for them. I'm sure they have a couple of bugs.
I'd expect that. Yeah, I would
expect that. Yeah, that's not surprising at this point, really. So.
No, and I don't hold that in particular against them. I do hold the ability not to answer a phone call against them.
It's pretty fundamental, really, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. And I hope that was just an isolated incident. I hope that doesn't happen again. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's do. Let's talk about what we like about it. Then we'll talk about the negatives. And then we can sum up with overall what this phone means. So. I said I like the screen. Any other things anybody want to say anything? Callie, what do you like best about this phone?
Well, in my 45 minutes of it, I love the screen. I love the experience. I'm not often, maybe it's my generation, I don't know exactly, but when I see products that come out or services that come out, I automatically think, yeah, okay, that's right. It should have happened like this, right? And this is one of the only things in my lifetime that I have just been completely floored by and amazed by.
Unexpectedly good.
Yes. And you know what? I mean, I've seen the videos. I've been looking at this interface for forever, right? But I didn't think I would be excited to slide to unlock. But the first few times I did it, I was. And so that experience... was more than I expected, I guess.
I tell you, when you go through your photo album, using your finger to slide through it and then to zoom in, it is pretty amazing.
Yeah. It's almost like you can feel it when you're flipping through the photos. Mm-hmm. There's almost like a weird mental kind of traction with your finger when you're doing it with the photos. It's very strange.
I think you're doing an acceleration. I think it's not linear, and so you'll see it goes faster, slower. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a little feel to it.
Yeah. Really responds to when you want to do it and when you want to flick quickly or slowly. It's really good.
Richard, what do you like about this phone? Now, given that you've probably done the most in-depth review of anybody here so far, maybe except for Ryan.
Well, perhaps I've had the least sleep as well, so you'll have to bear with me on that. I mean, we love the audio quality. The design of the thing is just beautiful. I put this next to a Treo this morning, and it was like, oh, lovely for this, and the Treo was just like, eh.
Yeah, you don't want to go back to the other phones anymore.
The interface is just really, it's just very simple. It's very Apple. It just works in the way it goes, and I love the photo library, as you said. I love the browser. I hate browsing. The browser itself, the software is really good, and
it works very well.
Yeah, it's intuitive and simple. It's kind of like Firefox, in that approach, and it just works very well.
It's very smart in the sense that
browsing is a problem.
It's in the sense that once you get a page loaded, which does take a while, but when you double tap on something, it knows how wide it is, whether it's text or picture, and zooms just to fit that object. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just intuitive, but it's just, as you say, the problem is you have to, you want to go to the New York Times or wirelessinfo.com, and, it takes you 5 minutes to get there. Right. So.
Good plug.
Thank you.
He's good, isn't he? You get the Dvorak Award for the stealthiest stealthiest plug. Okay, how about you, Veronica? What do you like about this phone?
Well, I was really shocked and amazed that it did work the way I wanted it to as soon as I started using them here. Like Callie said, we've seen all the commercials, we've seen how it's supposed to work, but then actually having it in your hand and looking the way it does is very surprising for someone who's used so many gadgets before. Yeah. My favorite thing is probably Google Maps. I really like the Google Maps app, and I like directions, and I think it's very cute.
Have you not used that, though, on another phone? I mean, this is, as far as I can tell, exactly the same as the Google Maps on my BlackBerry.
My phone, my version of the Dash is an earlier version that doesn't have Java built in, so I haven't used Google Maps on a phone before. So, you know, it's kind of exciting for me. I know other people are probably used to that, but I think the integration with the iPhone is really great.
Well, yeah, you can't touch Google Maps on any other phone. So
in that
respect, you're right, yeah.
And the Edge connection does kind of blow. Mm-hmm. But other than that, you know, it's got its ups and downs.
We'll get to what blows in a second. Let's ask Ryan Block of Engadget, and probably with Richard, you probably spent the most time on this thing. What is it that you like best about it?
Well, I mean, I think that there's a long list of things to like about the phone, and probably an equally long list of things not to like. So, I mean, it's hard to start off and, I guess, go through it, but, I mean, as far as devices go, It almost doesn't even need to be said, but it's beautifully designed. It's really one of the most attractive pieces of consumer electronics out there. And
but it's slippery. There's nothing to hold on to, so get a case.
Right. I mean, this kind of level of attractiveness doesn't really matter to some people, and that's fine. But to me, aesthetics do matter somewhat. It's not, no amount of aesthetics is ever going to make up for a terrible device, and I think we all know that. And I would never let that pass, but it is a very well-designed device, and you know, it's well-designed on the inside as it is on the outside in general terms. So I can give them props for that. It feels really good in the hand. It feels really good up against the ear, and that's not something that every well-designed device is. I mean, you know, I've seen pretty phones that are just really not very comfortable to hold. So, I mean, that's something, simple usability, things like that. And, you know, just going through and interacting with the device, I mean, it definitely has its own feel and it has its own design sensibility about it. And, I mean, even if you don't like Apple, even if you don't like the iPhone, I think it's really hard to deny the fact that this has really kind of changed the game for cell phones and raised the bar for human usability in mobile devices.
I like the mute switch. There are a few phones I've had that have had that. BlackBerry had one, but I think that's just every phone that had to have that. Speaking as a broadcaster, that's a must. You know.
Yeah, that's a great feature. I like that too.
Mm-hmm.
The controls that are on it seem to work quite well. The home button surprised me how much I had to press it. I thought it's the most mechanical thing on the phone. The on off switch works very very coolly. Yeah, there's a lot. There is absolutely, in its industrial design, it's superb. And in many of the, I think it's a breakthrough in terms of user interface. I mean, it's well understood how to make a cell phone. What's been a consistent problem for every manufacturer is how to make a portable computer, how to make a small handheld computer. And I think this touch interface is a very good deal of the way towards solving that problem. It's not there yet. But I think it's a good way towards it. All right. Now it's time for the bitch fest. Mm-hmm. I'll give you each a couple things. who wants to start? Veronica, is there anything you don't like about this thing?
Well, like I said, the Edge connection is just, I think David Pogue put it best where he said the Wi-Fi was like fast and wonderful and the cellular data was slow and horrible.
Yeah.
And it is pretty slow and horrible. I mean, it wasn't... horrible might be a little strong. I mean, like some things were coming up pretty quickly, but other things were very laggy and it just took a while to browse. That's my main complaint because I do like to use the web on the go quite a bit. And that's going to be kind of an icky point for me in the future.
We should point out, though, that it's no slower on the iPhone than it is on any other AT&T device. It's just that Verizon and Sprint have much faster networks.
And you expect a little bit better.
Even AT&T, that's right. Why doesn't it support HSDPA?
Yeah. Well, we can go through the reasons why, but that's not really the point.
Right. All right, Ryan, what are a couple of negatives from your point of view?
Well, you know, I'll try not to speak to the general lack of specs, you know, for example, HEDP and GPS and, you know, the inability to send MMS and record video and these things. I'm not going to speak to those bits.
Although that was a good list, I think.
I think it just kind of did.
That list goes on and on and on, and I'm not going to go on into that list. But I will say, thus far, I've been a little bit unimpressed with the keyboard. I still hold strongly to the fact that, as you know, human beings, we need a certain level of tactile and haptic feedback with the devices that we use. So having virtual keyboard, even though you get used to it, it's never really the same as having a keyboard you can feel and click on and actually know that you're typing with.
Yeah.
And I don't feel that you should have to trust a device and trust that you're inputting things.
I agree. Yeah.
I think that you should just know. It's not a matter of trust. It's a matter of knowing for me. So the keyboard, even if I grow to like it and I'm not there yet, I think that I'm always not going to ever like it as much as a regular and proper keyboard. The lack of 3G for me is a really big deal. The Edge is fast, but it's just not fast enough. And the Wi-Fi is just not, it's a joke. I mean, it does work well when it works, but the fact that Steve Jobs actually expects you to leave the house and start connecting with Wi-Fi around town, I mean, there's no handoff. You can't be on the move when you're doing it. You have to be sitting in a spot directly underneath some guy's open router, which is not even very common anymore, in order to get on and use internet access. It's just not a real common usage scenario. So I think that's kind of a little bit out of the question for most people.
Yeah, maybe I should reframe this, and you've already done it, but for the rest of you, maybe what is it that people who buy this phone are going to be disappointed by or surprised by, or maybe something somebody should keep in mind before they buy the phone? Richard, how about you?
Well, the browsing is the main thing, I guess. The speed, but we've already covered that a little, I guess. The camera, I was a little disappointed. It's okay. I was kind of had a hope that, you know, if anybody could sort out a really good cell phone camera, it would be Apple and their expertise in engineering small, good cameras. But they didn't. It's just all right. And that's a little disappointing to me.
There's not a lot of settings with it.
There's no settings.
Yeah, there's no settings.
There's no zoom, there's no white balance, there's no aperture control, there's nothing.
Well, I think at the end of the day, the camera really reminds us that Apple is still constrained by the same technological shortcomings as every other company out
there. Well, but wait, my N95 has a 5-megapixel camera with
zoom. Right, but your N95 is also much thicker. I'm talking about, you know, if you have a fat image sensor, a really nice large image sensor, maybe with something with autofocus and some good optics, that's going to add some girth to the phone.
Right.
And that's not something they wanted to do. They wanted to use a very small image sensor with a very small lens, and in doing so, they sacrifice image quality on the camera. I mean, they're not miracle workers. They are working with regular technology.
I think that's something worth
remembering.
You're right, Ryan, and this also reminds us that, you know, even inside this cool, stylish design, it's pretty standard components. There really isn't anything that radical in terms of the hardware. I mean, the other thing I was a little disappointed with, we just got some results on the battery testing. We got about 4 hours, 3 minutes out of the talk time, which isn't great. It's not bad, but
half what Apple's saying. I always divide manufacturers' numbers in half. Is it comparable to... It seems like it's still better than the other smartphones in the market.
It depends. I mean, it's pretty much exactly the same as what we got with the Ocean, but it's a little bit less than a Nokia, but it's like half of what we got out of the BlackBerry 8800. You know,
BlackBerry
8800 kept going for like 10 hours.
Yeah.
So it's acceptable. It would be nice if it was a little bit longer, but you know. That's a little disappointing, but
it's not as bad as we thought it would be. And I have to say, it's my Nokia N95 will drain it. You look at it; it'll drain the battery. So it's better than a lot. I have to say, the camera. One thing I liked about the camera, and maybe I've heard others have not had this experience, is it's fast. I mean, I can get from off to a picture in a second or two, and there's not a lot of camera phones that can do that.
Yeah, I mean, we found it very quick to do it. It's not very quick in terms of taking one shot after the other. It was very slow at that.
Interesting. I hadn't tried that.
Yeah, I mean, we test all this stuff. You know, we do digital cameras all the time.
Right,
The unlock standby to first shot was very quick. That was 2.43 seconds.
Yeah.
But the shot-to-shot time was about 1.5 frames a second, which is just really slow, even for a cell phone.
Yeah. Image quality is decent. It's 2 megapixels, but it's not bad. I have quite a few images now on Flickr that I've been taking, and I've been pretty happy with it.
Low light is pretty bad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. You have to have a lot of light. I did these all outside. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, the cell phone cameras always have a problem with low light because they have sensors.
Right.
But it's not a bad camera.
Callie Lewis, you have only had it for 15 minutes, so I... it's a little early to come up with a negative, but go ahead. See if you can come up with something you don't like about it.
It's my actual experience. The keyboard I had a little bit of an issue with, and the camera, it took me a while to get Something I was happy for my wallpaper. But I think my main issue, because I haven't, you know, I haven't played with the iPhone, but my main issue is that I feel like I've made a deal with the devil with AT&T.
Right, right.
So, I mean, that's my big...
And you don't have a choice, and you won't have a choice for 5 years, I mean, unless Apple decides to break their deal.
Well, hey, Kelly, if you ever decide that you don't want to use an iPhone anymore, at least you're still locked into a carrier contract with somebody who does have 3G, so you could switch over to another phone. If you wanted to, you know, put up a Windows Mobile or something.
Good point.
That I think anyone would ever switch from an iPhone to Windows Mobile. But if they did, you could at least get 3G.
Where is HSDPA implemented on the AT&T network? Is it in all the major metros?
It's not in all the major cities. I mean, it's not in LA yet, but it is in a number of major cities. It's in the Bay Area, so, I mean, I use it frequently, and it does have very good speeds. I have EVDO on both the Verizon and Sprint and HSDPA on Singular, and... It's very comparable. Not quite as good, but it's up there.
Comparable, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Everyone's experience with their customer service?
Right. We don't know yet. You're the only one who's really had to deal with them. I have mm-hmm. to say that when it was Singular, it was awful. They were among the worst. So.
Yeah, but Verizon, I've had nothing but nightmare experiences as well.
Really?
And I've had some pretty poor experiences with Sprint, too. So, I mean, mm-hmm. they're all pretty bad. They all could use a lesson from... You know, somebody much more talented than themselves.
I don't know. T-Mobile is really good.
Yeah,
I think T-Mobile leads the way there.
They're overly polite, if anything.
It's such a pleasure to talk to them.
Very sensitive. They're very sensitive over there.
They have the least amount of customers, so they try harder to
keep them. That's it. Maybe that's it.
You're not leaving us, right?
Well, I kept my T-Mobile phone, so I've got both at T-Mobile. Don't worry. You've got at least one customer here. I have to say I was a little disappointed with the way we get the pictures out of the phone. Now, it's fine that it syncs up. If you're using a Mac, it'll sync up an iPhoto. I presume on Windows it would do the same thing with iTunes and Adobe Photoshop Album or whatever programs the iTunes supports. But if you want to get it out of the phone before you get home, there's only one choice, and that's to email it. And it emails it, at least at the test I did, at 640 by 480, not original size. Maybe you can change that. I haven't found a way to do that. And it strips out all the EXIF information. So it's, you know, it's really a phone where you take a picture and you take it home.
Mm, and, of course, you can't do anything by MMS either. You can't.
No MMS.
Yeah.
I was surprised, though. Some of my viewers said the fact that you can't do MMS was a deal breaker for them.
Absolutely.
Outside of everything else, that was the deal breaker.
Absolutely.
I found that surprising.
No, I feel that way, too. Now, again, these things could be fixed either by third-party applications or by a firmware update. And it's I think not at all unlikely that Apple will respond to some of these. But it's just something we should point out. And I think the most important thing is to point out to prospective customers, everybody's got different issues. Everybody's got different deal breakers. If MMS is important to you, you need to know that it doesn't do MMS. For some people, mm-hmm. that's a big deal. I don't care about that. So it's just, I think that's why it's important to read the reviews at wirelessinfo.com and Engadget. And frankly, I look forward to seeing PC World has a pretty good, in fact, they've done a very good job in 24 hours on the iPhone. And
For the record, CNET also has a full review up with video as well.
I'm sure they do. Very good. And PC Mag, and I think that's what I didn't like about the big four getting the iPhone 2 weeks early. That's not enough people to really get a good sense of it, and I want to see what the real professional reviewers do, not what Stephen Levy and Walt Mossberg do, because with all due respect, those guys are great, but that's not their bread and butter.
And which could possibly be why they got the iPhone first.
Oh, interesting. I see.
I'm staying out of this one.
A wise man.
So, British expression, you might think that I couldn't possibly comment.
I couldn't possibly say. Well, the good news is nobody listens to this podcast, so you're safe. although I do want to note that David Pogue did have Twit on his iPhone in his video. And I'm not going to say he was listening to it. In fact, the album art was really, really old. So
I noticed that. Yeah. I noticed that the Twit was on there.
Yeah. I said, David, you can get a newer copy. We actually do them every week now. All right, let's wrap this thing up really with the grand philosophy. What does the iPhone mean in the scheme of things? Does this change everything in the way that the iPod changed an industry, or is it not such a big deal? Let's start with you, Ryan. How important is this?
Well, I mean, the iPod came in at a time when nobody was using digital audio players. There was no market there, and the iPod kind of defined that market and opened it up and made it mainstream. And now there's a huge digital audio player market, and everybody else can play in that market. You know, Microsoft and Zune and iRiver and all these other guys have their units out there because, in part, Apple really opened that up. Now, Apple is late to the game this time. The iPhone is coming into a market that's already been really well established. Billions of phones have shipped. So they really have to make a mark. They're not going to do something new for phones in, you know, making them mainstream or whatever. I mean, everybody already has a phone. What they're doing, and I mentioned this earlier, is they're kind of changing the paradigm for usability in portable computing devices, changing the paradigm for usability in cell phones. That's what this is really all about. It's about making cell phones both powerful and easy, and not those two things, you know, having those two things being mutually exclusive.
Callie Lewis, what do you think?
I think it's important in a big way. I mean, this is technology consumers have never been able to get their hands on. Of course, it's big and it's important. We've got Microsoft Surface with multi-touch.
It's just a big-ass table, please. Now that I've actually played with the iPhone, it's so clear what a Me Too job that was.
Well, I mean, you know, it's just I'll be interested to see what comes out of all this, and will Apple be willing to license their proprietary stuff? And so
you're right. Yeah, I think they've patented really the hell out of this. I think they own this.
Yeah.
No, they don't own multi-touch. I mean, we should be clear about that. Well, they do not own multi-touch.
Who owns multi-touch?
There is no ownership of multi-touch. It's been something that's been in universities and in academia, in computer science for decades. It's not a new concept. It's been around for a really long time. This is just one of the first instances ever actually been commercialized for consumer use.
Jeff Hahn, really, if anybody owns it, but I don't think he's patented it. So it is that Jeff Hahn's pinch thing, though, the thing that we saw at TED, and it's clearly that, and it's on the Surface. So that's interesting. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure they patented everything they could, but they couldn't patent that. That's interesting. Veronica, what do you think?
Well, I think if it goes over as well as I think it's going to go, a lot of different cell phone manufacturers are going to be coming out with devices that, you know, do implement the touch screen more frequently. I mean, we've already seen the LG Prada, and we've seen the HTC Touch, and a lot of different phones that have much bigger screens and interfaces that act a lot like the iPhone, even if they've come out before the iPhone did. So I think it's really going to bring a new era in user interface and usability to the cell phone market.
And finally, let's go to Richard Bagley from wirelessinfo.com.
Well, thank you for the plug. I mean, I really agree with Veronica there. This, in terms of the device itself, the hardware isn't revolutionary. It's the approach to how you do things and how you perform the tasks that everybody does with a cell phone, which is the interesting thing. And I very much hope that this will make the other guys think, hey, it's not just a question of stuffing 15,000 features into a cell phone. Mm-hmm. It's a question of looking at how you use that thing and how people really want to get the stuff done that they want to do.
You know, it's interesting, and nobody said it, but I'll say it. This is clearly the best iPod ever made.
Yeah.
And if you took the phone out and just ignored it, it's probably still worth the price for an amazing iPod. I just wish.
I don't know if I would say that.
No, you don't think so.
You know, I got to say, even though the iPod did kind of change the game for portable audio, I've never really been a big iPod fan.
Oh, interesting.
And even though it does work really well, I mean, the music integration is great, and having it integrated with calls and music fades out and fades back in, and you have that little
cover
button.
Flow and the.
Yeah, I mean, all that stuff works really great. I will definitely attest that. But I mean, that whole end of, you know, the spectrum of the device, that is not what makes this thing for me.
Interesting.
And it's really the gestalt of all of these components put together, and not just, you know, the fact that it's a great iPod. And I know that
I
that's
do agree.
What Steve really wanted to.
I do agree that it is a fantastic iPod, and I think we'll probably be seeing an iPod that is just a standalone iPod that works this way, you know, probably by the holidays. And that's going to kill me because, you know, it's going to be an 80-gigabyte version of this, probably for the same amount that I paid for the iPhone. But Ryan's right. It is the mashup of the phone with the player and everything else involved that makes it a great device.
I think, you know, it's because I said nobody listens to music on their phone. The music isn't important. Forget that before this came out. And now here I am thinking I love this iPod. I mean, I was listening to it all the way in, and it's the phone is fine, but it's a great iPod.
I don't have any headphones that work with it yet.
Now, without activating it, can you use it as an iPod?
No, I think you have to activate it before you can use the features. Is that right, Ryan?
You can't do anything without the device. With the device without activating. You can do absolutely nothing except make emergency calls.
And I would also point out that you cannot attach it to any other copy of iTunes. Once you choose the iTunes, the machine you're activating on, I wasn't able to get any other iTunes to even recognize it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of a bummer.
Well, you might have to do a software reset, but that's kind of the same thing that happens with your iPod. If you
iPod into another one and said, oh, this guy's attached to another machine. You want me to erase everything? This didn't even see it. It doesn't even show up.
Hmm.
I think there's a way you can do that. I think if you do a full reset, I think you can still do it, though.
Start over like it's a brand new phone? Do I have to activate
it
again?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the point I'm making is if you did do that, if it did have the same unexpected behavior as an iPod had, you'd basically have to erase it in order to start using it on another machine and syncing with that content.
Yeah, but that's fine. I just want to make sure that I could at least do that much, but it didn't seem like I could. So that's good to know. I'll have to try reset. How do you reset this thing?
It's in the options. You can actually drill down into the option. There's like a full phone reset, restore to factory default mode.
Oh, well, that doesn't sound good. I'm not sure I really want to do that. Okay.
Yeah, not trying it either. We haven't finished our review yet. So.
Yeah. I'll save that for after when I give it to my daughter. That's when she can do that. Well, I want to thank you all for joining us. Remind you, of course, that this podcast, as all our Twit podcasts, was brought to you by Audible.com, a chance for you to get an absolutely free book just by going to audible.com/twit, a free audiobook. You can try it out, give you an idea of what it's like to listen to Audible books on your new iPhone, if you should so choose. We traditionally recommend a book, and I didn't prepare you guys, so I won't spring it on you, but I think I have an appropriate book for people who are iPhone users. You might want to read I Was, Steve Wozniak's autobiography, How I Invented the Personal Computer and Had Fun Along the Way.
I actually have that as an Audible.
Do you?
Book.
How do you like it?
Yes, I do.
Well, there you go. And you're listening to it?
I listened to it several months ago, probably 6 months ago.
And what do you think?
It was a good book. It was cute.
I've heard all his stories, so I kind of know what's in the book. And Gina Smith's a good friend, so I haven't actually downloaded it yet, but I think I'll get it. But certainly Woz is the guy. And to see somebody like Woz show up at Valley Fair Mall and sit on a bench and wait for his iPhone.
He's a good person.
He's just a good man.
I have it in my library. I can't wait to listen to it.
Good. All right. Well, there's our free book. And I got three recommendations now. That is audible.com/twit. We thank so much. We thank Audible so much for their support of the Twit Network. We really appreciate it. Audible.com/twit for your free audio book. Well, I can't thank you all enough. Really did have the royalty of gadgetry on with us today. And it's been really great. I hope you all come back. Ryan Block is editor-in-chief of Engadget, ENGADGET.com or something like that. Did I spell it right?
Yeah, that's about right. If you type it into Google, you'll get an autocorrect for it.
I think I was in the ballpark anyway. I absolutely read it religiously every day, and it's just fantastic. And I'm so glad we could get you on the show, Ryan.
Thanks, man.
Thanks for joining us. Callie Lewis is with GeekBrief.tv. Just a wonderful video podcast about gadgetry 4 times a week. And make sure you watch 192, where she rails about her data plan.
Or you can just move on.
Rails about her.
Now that I have an iPhone.
Are you gonna now do one about the iPhone?
Yeah, of course.
Think so. I think maybe.
I think I kind of have to.
And I hear we've got you coming up to Vancouver to do the TV show.
Yeah.
So. Good.
Yeah, in August.
I will save a Twit hoodie for you. We've got our new fleece hoodies, and they're beautiful.
Oh, I love one. And I'm bringing Drobo.
Are you?
Yeah.
Good. You better you than me. I'm not bringing Drobo across the border.
Well, I may have it sent up.
What is this, sir?
Yeah.
Well, it's a data robot. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Also, Veronica Belmont from Buzz Out Loud, my favorite tech news podcast. She's just slumming here with us on Twit. And CNETTV.com. So good to talk to you again.
Thank you.
And to our newbie in the bunch, Richard Bagley, Bagley. One of these days, it usually takes me, I don't know, Veronica will tell you, it takes me about 7 or 8 episodes, then I get your name right.
I've heard all variations, wouldn't worry about it. Yeah.
Wirelessinfo.com is an excellent, in fact, it's probably the best in terms of just raw information and absolute editorial integrity, cell phone review site, wirelessinfo.com. A part of the family, you've heard me talk before about camcorderinfo.com and digitalcameraInfo.com. This is the newest, wirelessinfo.com. Thank you so much for joining us. I look forward to reading your full review as soon as we get off the air here.
It's my pleasure. I might take an hour or two to sleep, and then I'll finish it up.
Go back to sleep. thank you all. Another Twit is in the can.
sound report.
I should have paid attention. I don't know what I'm going to do. Too much work. The problem is, there's no limit. My server's completely collapsed. So here's the deal. I'm just trying to get the thing up, but I have a hell of a time. What blue screens? Like, forget it. I'm killing you.
Round the horn.